I think it's timely that we go through the book of Jude. I think it's very interesting that this one chapter book, sometimes when you're writing it, you don't know if you go Jude chapter 1 verse 3 when there's only one chapter. Is it Jude 3 or Jude 1 3? There's only one chapter. 25 verses. But wrapped up in this little book is really everything that has been preached prior from Matthew chapter 1 on. You're going to find everything in some way, shape, or form here. And it's interesting that I think Judah, however, depends on what language you're speaking. He sits down. He is actually sitting down, it seems, in the Greek lingo here. He's actually getting ready to remind you of all those things. And yet he's going to say, I want you to contend for the faith. But, however, in the first couple of verses and in the last couple of verses, he does go back and wraps up all that has been written and spoken of and seen in Jesus Christ. It's an amazing little book if you just take some time, and that's what we're going to do. Take some time. Why are we going to take some time? Because of the times we're in. And by the way, we are doing Revelation on Wednesday nights. So this is preparation for Revelation. It's preparation for the unveiling. Remember, this is a strategic book. The three Johns, the three little epistles of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And then this Bible, they speak about truth. And then he says, okay, hold on to it. Jude says, hold on to it. Contend for it. Contend for what you believe. Because something drastic is coming. Something horrible in one way and absolutely fantastic and wonderful in another. Two sides of the coin, depends on what side of the river you're on. You this side of Jordan or that? This side of Jordan or that? We need help to endure. We need help to get to the end. Jesus made some promises that are kind of harrowing, kind of frightening, kind of enthusiastic and yet scary. He made some declarations that only he could, as Gary was talking about this morning, as again he preached about a third of my sermon, and I love the confirmation. He made some declarations that only God can. And we need to be prepared for those declarations. We do not know much. We don't know the hour or the day, but I tell you what, we know the season, don't we? Jesus said we can know. In fact, he commanded us to know the season. The season. Jude is a jumping off point to this season. It's a jumping off point to know what is going on in Revelation. It's pretty strategic. 1 John 2 says, children, it is the last hour. Just as you hear that Antichrist is coming, that is the person. Even how many Antichrists have arisen, and for this we know it is the last hour. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? Do you want to know a cult? What do they believe about Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ asked his disciples, what do men say about me? Who do they think I am? And you ask a lot of people, well, he's a good guy. He claimed to be God, but I don't think he was. He died on a cross and, you know, he was a zealot. And all of these kinds of reasons isn't enough. Is not enough. Who do you say that I am? He asked his disciples. You are the Christ. In Mark, you are the Christ, that's the Messiah, that's half of it. What's the Messiah? What does Messiah mean? Anointed one, the coming one, the man in the flesh to come and rule over Israel, and Psalm 2, the world. But in Matthew, he wraps it up, the Son of the living God. And it tells Peter, you wouldn't have known this unless it was by the Holy Spirit. You are the Son of the living God, that's what got him killed. That's what got him killed. There's going to be Messiahs coming. There's going to be one that the Jews accept. 2 John 1:7, for many deceivers have gone out into the world, refusing to confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Again, people believe he came and was born and died, but that's not what it means here. He came from heaven in the flesh. If you've seen me, you've seen my Father. I and the Father are one. Before Abraham was, I am. Now, it's interesting. Jesus is coming in the flesh. I often wonder here in John, exactly, or Holy Spirit, what exactly did you mean by that? Did you mean his first coming or the second? His first coming or the second? As the Savior or the Judge? And I would say both. We have to believe in both. He's coming. Gary again called him the servant. He went to Isaiah 41 and was talking about the servant there. And I absolutely agree with him. That servant is Jesus Christ. The ayin, the bet, and the dalet. You see him with your eye. And he is the house that we live in. He's the temple of God. And he's the dalet. He's the door into that temple. He's all. He is the sheep gate. Men have forgotten this God, and they need to remember him, and we need to be reminded of him. There's false Christs already in the world. The Moonies, the head of the Moonies, was this Mr. Moon who died in 2012. His wife, claimed to be the second coming of Jesus. I guess he's going to have a third coming because this guy died. And then the woman still claims to be Eve, the mother of the living, to this day. And by the way, Paula White, who was Donald Trump's good friend, went up and spoke for her and talked about the Unification Church and how we should all come together. Don't listen to her. She's a false prophet. Oh, sorry. I skipped one. Here's another one. March 2020. These are all recent. South Korean cult church leader claiming to be the Messiah could face coronavirus murder charge. Here's another one. Not just the Gentiles, the Jews. Israeli rabbi says he's already holding meetings with the Messiah. Well, it can't be Jesus. Every eye will see him. Here's another one. A cult leader who claims to be reincarnation of Christ, of Jesus, is arrested in Russia. Well, did the angels show up and let him out of prison? Or was there something miraculous after that? Or did you see him come? There's more. There's lots more in India, in Africa in particular, in China and other places. These people are rising up to tickle people's ears and get people to follow them. That's why in John chapter 4 it says, test every spirit. Test every spirit. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. Every spirit that doesn't confess Jesus is not of God and is the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, when I say I confess Jesus, I want to, again, make it real clear. When I confess Jesus and pray in his name, I better believe that he came from God, that he is deity, that he died and was resurrected. He was God before he died, and he was God afterwards. He didn't change. He raised, and then he's coming again. That's what we mean. And if we don't like something that's in the book or we don't understand it, we get to understand it as much as possible and believe it. We don't kick it to the side because this is his word. So just to make that clear, we don't get to pick and choose. Now, we have a president of the United States who said the New York Times, the New York Times has said is the most religious man in 50 years. religious president in 50 years. How? How can he be that when he is pro-choice and anti-life? How can he believe that? By the way, you can find that in Psalm 139. Write it down. How can you believe that when you believe in different genders besides the male and female, and you can change them up? You can find that in Mark chapter 6. Jesus said he made them male and female. How can you believe that when he's ripping up the borders of states, including our own, when God made them in Acts 17? On and on. On and on. How can he believe that when he doesn't believe in the covenant of Abraham and the land of Israel? How can he believe? How can he be a religious man? Well, he may be a religious man, but religion doesn't get you to heaven. Every man who denies Jesus Christ. So in 2 Timothy chapter 4, henceforth, that word there is now that we know and from now on. We now know and from now on, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. The book of Revelation, the unveiling. Not the book itself, but about his coming, and about his unveiling, and about his appearing. We love it. We love it. Our president is not the problem, really. He really is not the problem. He's a symbol of the problem. The lights are going out in America if we do not have an awakening. There's a bigger problem. Remember, God doesn't move until we move. Once we move, God moves away from us. And this unveiling and this appearing is on the heels of that judgment. Then Revelation, the book of Revelation, is unveiled and unfolds before us. And before that, Jude and the Holy Spirit, actually the Holy Spirit in Jude, prompted him to give us a warning, but more than that, really. He's going to give us a warning. It's going to be full of warnings, and we're going to go through that. But he doesn't start out that way. He starts out with everything that was written from Matthew 1. He starts out with discernment. Paul says in Romans 1:25, they exchanged the truth, the aletheia of God, for the lie. There's one truth and really one lie, the father of lies. And worshipped the served creation rather than the creator who is blessed forevermore. John is talking about false teachers and false prophets, even in his epistle and all three epistles and the gospel. 2 John verse 10, if anyone comes and doesn't bring this teaching, don't receive him into your house. Don't even give him a greeting. Don't even give him a greeting. And Paul's not talking about the world who doesn't claim any kind of God. They need to be saved. But somebody who claims Jesus Christ and it changes the gospel, you are not to eat with them. That's not my words. You're not to even greet them. Well, that's pretty harsh. Remember, 1 Corinthians is about, it starts off about that boy who went south, claimed to be a believer, and when he was chastised, he came back and received grace. Galatians 1:8, even though we are an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one you heard from us, let him be anathema. Let him be condemned. 2 Timothy 3, indeed all who desire to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will be persecuted while, watch this, we're going to be persecuted while evil men, imposters, go from bad to worse. Bad to worse. And Jude so is warning us that it's going to get worse. Now, I've heard a few pastors lately, and it was Chuck Missler's mission before he died. It's John MacArthur's mission now. There's a few, I'm not going to say that so many, there's a few who are saying to us that there's an apostolic movement right now, a new reformation movement right now that is telling us we're going to bring in the kingdom of God. And what's going to happen is we're going to be deceived and believe that hope, that false hope. That's the Jeremiah hope. Jeremiah says that's not what's going to happen. You're going to go into exile. Some of us will be killed. I don't know if he knew he was going to be killed. He's saying, listen, I can't tell you a lie, because once things start going south, we're going to believe the lie and get sucked in. And then, by the way, that guy who told Amir the other day, you've been lying to me the whole time, the rapture was supposed to come or Trump was supposed to win. How can you even connect those two? And people are being lulled into a false hope. Now, we live in a special part of the country right now. And we have it pretty good. America has had it great. But that is not the future. That is unrealistic. And I'd be a liar if I stood up here and said different. I'm scared to say different. I'm scared to say this. But I have to preach this word. There's a persecution coming. Matthew 24:10. At that time, many will fall away. At that time, many will fall away. Now, listen, folks. That at that time is in the tribulation. Okay, we know that the great falling away happens just before the tribulation or into it. But Jesus always said to the church, you're going to see summer coming. These things are going. It's going to, Paul said, wax worse and worse. It's the number one warning from Jesus Christ. False prophets. Paul always told his churches and his men, watch out for false prophets. Guard the flock. So this lady, Kat Kerr, write her name down and don't listen to her. You can notice her, she's got pink hair. Well, the last time I saw her, she did. This is what she said the other day. See, she made a prediction that Trump was going to win. Now, you can ask the people who know me. I wanted him to win. And I was thinking, man, with all the rallies, he's got to win, and I think he's going to win. But she predicted, she told the church, he is going to win. He's going to have another 4 years and on and on. And she's not the only one. But she, the other day, there was no sign of repentance. She was with two other guys, too, who did the same thing. She said this, nowhere in the Bible does it say prophets have to apologize for anything. And right there, you just turn her off. Or listen to her and teach others not to listen to her. You'll not ever hear me apologize for what God has said to me. I will stand and believe what God said to me, what will happen. And then she goes on to say, and it will happen. Well, it didn't happen. But she was off base right there anyway. You do have to apologize. And you do have to fear that you're stepping out before in front of God. So the tribulation is the pinnacle. It is the summit of sin. It is Genesis chapter 6 over again. And then Jesus Christ is going to come back. We're going to be in the ark. Jesus Christ is coming back. And he's going to establish peace on the earth after that. But until then, fake believers, and this is the key, fake believers are going to wax worse and worse. And you need to tune your ears into the Bible. How are we going to make it? How are we going to know who to listen to? And, quote, follow. We follow Jesus Christ, but we listen to people. We've got people tuned in all the time. Hopefully, good people. How are you going to know which ones? Well, you're only going to know by the Bible. And contending for the faith. And we'll get to that next week. What does that mean? What does that look like? But it's so interesting to me that Jude and the Holy Spirit doesn't start with all of that stuff. He starts with this. Now, let me get through this real quick. This is what's called a chiastic. It's half of an X, RX. It's a Greek letter, half of a Greek letter. And it notice that it opens with assurance and it closes with assurance. Just connect A and A, then B and B next week, C and C next week, okay? After that, that's what we're going to do, just so you know. That's why I split them up. Because he starts with assurance and ends with assurance. It's kind of like that thing where your employee gets in trouble or your son gets in trouble and you come in and you say, I love you, son. You're my boy. And you'll always be my boy. And I adore you. But I either have a punishment or a warning. One of the two. And that's what happens. And then you end with, I love you, son. I love you. Watch out for that kid next door. Watch out for that teacher. Don't listen. I mean, you know, pass your grades. Do what you have to. But if you don't agree with some of the stuff, don't come talk to me. I'll help you through it. Jude 1. We're going to pick this apart a little bit. I don't usually do this because it can kind of get monotonous, but this should not. And this first verse and the second verse is all of our Christian life. It is the calling. It is the sanctification. It is the hope. It's in Jesus Christ. Everything is found in him. And it starts off with this little few words, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ. This word, we like to use servant because here's kind of the key. This is a Greek word meaning doulos. It says doulos, Greek, but it means slave. It means slave. But what is a bondservant or a servant? But they're a willing slave. They're willing. I'm willing to be a slave. That's really what this is. A willing slave. Okay? Now we can condescend and we can do all this stuff and talk about race and slavery and all that stuff. I don't want to do that. What I'm just suggesting is this. God says, when I call you, I want your all. Give me your all. There's a whole lot of promises with it, and we're going to see that. There's so much that comes with it, but I need your all. I need it all. Remember, when you get the Holy Spirit, you get the Holy Spirit. You get him. How much does he get of you? How much does he have of us? What have we not gotten up? Are we arrogant? Are we prideful? Do we question teaching? Do we get in people's face? I want you all. I want you to come humbly submitting to the cross and the word of God. That's what Jesus is saying. And these people are willingly say, that's me. That's me. Now, here is a man who could have said, listen, I am the brother of the Lord Jesus and started his own thing. Or he even could have said, I'm the brother of James and started his own thing. Now, watch this. This is Jesus Christ was his half-brother. Remember, Jesus Christ's father is the Lord of heaven. Okay? And Jude was born from Joseph. He is the full brother of James, the head of the church, who was martyred, killed with the sword by King Herod. That's the James. Mark 6:33. You see Jesus there, and Judah, Judas, and Jude. He goes by those three names. You see his other brother, James, and Simon there, and of course his sisters. And think about this now. He's in the line of David. Jude is in the line of David. So is James. They could have said, we're stepping into the kingdom. Let's go become zealots. Let's go follow Barabbas or Simon. You know, Simon, you're a zealot, and you've got some history in this. We could do this thing. They didn't do that. They humbly submitted to Jesus Christ. They told him, I'm your slave. I'm your willing slave. And Jesus is not the type who's going to treat them like a slave. He starts calling them his friends. But we have to have that heart of a slave. An old historian says that Jude's descendants were targeted by Domitian. They rounded him up and brought him in to the king or the emperor. They asked him, how much property do you have? What do you do for a living? Let me see your hands. I want to see if you're working for a living or who do you think you are? Because you say that you are the descendants of David. That's who they were rounding up. They were rounding up the descendants of David. They said, the family said, we have 39 acres. We use it to toil and raise our taxes to the emperor and supported themselves by labor. And when they were asked concerning Christ and his kingdom, what sort of kingdom is your Messiah, this Jesus Christ, or actually your half-brother, right?